Toronto condo prices are up, despite years of doom and gloom forecasts about the condo market being ready for a tumble. Prices in the Greater Toronto area have risen more than 9% in the last year, according to a new study being released on Wednesday. I want to talk about this a little bit more. We've got someone texting in saying, condo prices went up 9%. Looks like a dead count bounce to me, or dead cat bounce to me, which means a temporary recovery in share prices after a substantial fall caused by speculators buying in order to cover their positions. Is that true? Well, let's ask the guy that knows, Todd C. Slater, host of Simply Real Estate on Newstalk 1010, also known as the Simple Investor. Todd, welcome to the Nightside.
Thanks so much, Richard. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
So is this what they call a dead cat bounce?
You know, I think it's kind of a cool analogy. You know, when you talk about condominiums, I mean, if you let a cat out, I don't think it would bounce too much from a condo, but being a little, sadistic there. But no, truth be told, Richard, when we take a look at this marketplace, this is really people getting adjusted to the new norm. And the biggest thing, of course, was the stress test that was put in place in the beginning of 2018. And it made it very hard for people to qualify. And so at this point, we're finding the majority of all first-time home buyers, millennial buyers, at this point can basically only afford condominiums. And one of the things that we are starting to see a little bit more active, of course, are the more of the baby boomer generation kind of stepping back from their properties and looking into the condominium market. And, you know, they're kind of making some plans. So when we start seeing the sales of these brand new condominiums, you know, some of these are people that are going to be downsizing in the near future.
And what sort of average price are we looking at? If you wanted to buy a condo in downtown Toronto, and I mean, I know that's hard to say because there are some Yonge and Bloor that are $3.5 million penthouses, but sort of average price, if I was just a young person wanting to buy a condo, what might I be looking at spending?
Well, truthfully, right now, you know, everything is going to be north of $500,000. If we're talking about new construction, you know, there are some resales that are out there. People are able to still buy. So, you know, a building perhaps it's 10 years old, you're going to be looking anywhere from about $400,000 to $600,000 for any decent square footage. Right now, when we start averaging in around that $800 a square foot, you know, it's pretty easy to eat that, you know, eat that price up when you're buying something at 700 square feet. You know, $550,000 is pretty much your benchmark number right now.
And, you know, I've been told that people are also looking for really old condos because they were built differently. They have thicker walls. They have, you know, I don't know, maybe not all the amenities. They probably don't have a podcast studio in the basement somewhere, but they have thicker walls and, you know, are sort of, if they've been well maintained, if you can get a condo that was built 30 or 40 years ago, it's probably a pretty good investment.
Well, you know, Richard, great point. And one other thing to add also is if you're looking at a condo right now that's anywhere around 30 or 40 years of age, you're getting way more square footage and more bang for your buck. So, you know, back then when we started looking at one-bedroom units, they weren't trying to shoehorn people into 500 square feet. You know, one-bedroom units were coming out at 750, 800 square feet. Two-bedroom units were approaching 1,000 square feet. You know, today, in today's standards, when builders are building, you know, something at 1,000 square feet, they want to put three bedrooms into it. So, you know, the older buildings, I'm very bullish on. I think everybody should be looking at the older buildings. People will complain, yeah, maintenance fees are a little bit higher, but one of the things they don't have is also the extreme amenities that some of these newer buildings have. And that's going to jack the prices up in the future.
I was talking with someone the other day. I mentioned a podcast studio and, you know, people, I saw Joey and my producer and Mark laugh, but they told me that not only do they have the gym and they've got a SoulCycle, I think in the lower area of their condo, but there was a podcast studio in there as well. And I thought, you know, listen, I get it. They're 600,000 podcasts out there in the world now. People might want that, but you're paying dearly for all of that stuff.
You do, and one of the things I think everybody should also be aware of is that when you buy a brand new condominium, they kind of artificially keep your condominium fee low. Mm-hmm. But within a period of time between 3 to 5 years of owning that unit, you can watch your condominium fees double.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the reasons why is with all these extra amenities, as you mentioned, a podcast, I mean, you know, people, there are people that have bowling alleys, you know, all these fitness centers, you know, what they don't realize is how much maintenance is going to occur in the next 3 to 5 years. And this is where we're watching maintenance fees go through the roof. And, you know, with the issues that, you know, a lot of these buildings have with glass and things like that, you know, the maintenance and upkeep, it's going to be pretty expensive for some of the newer style buildings. But again, looking at the older ones, you know what? They have a pretty good track record. You're going to know where your expenses are going to lie over the next few years.
I'm speaking with Todd C. Slater, the Simple Investor and host of Simply Real Estate, right here on News Talk 1010. Todd, can you hang around through the break here? I've got a couple more questions for you.
Sure, no problem.
Thanks very much. When we come back, we're going to continue talking to Todd C. Slater. I want to find out why the shrinking size of condos is actually driving up the prices. And, you know, in generally speaking, if condos are still a good deal in Toronto. Welcome back. We're talking about Toronto condo prices. They are up just a little bit over 9%. And someone here says, it is a dead count bounce. Condos are going to crash or flatline in price for years. Todd C. Slater, the Simple Investor and host of Simply Real Estate, is on the line, and this is what we're talking about. So, Todd, what do you think about that? Condos are going to crash or flatline in price for years?
So here's the thing, and I understand why a lot of people think about this, because you know, prices have gone up at such a torrid rate. But we have to keep one thing in mind. Right now, we have a historic low in availability of both condos and the rental market. So right now, we cannot keep up with the demand. Right, the construction levels right now in the GTA, Toronto area, for condominiums and just new builds, we're running at about 30,000 units a year, but we require 50,000 to keep up with the demand.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why people would think that, hey, listen, you know, it can't keep going up and up. You know, the idea of something flatlining, when we talk about condominium market, if it flatlines, we're probably going to see an increase anywhere from about 3 to 5% annually as far as value. So probably two times inflation. But that would be a flatline in the condominium market. But the idea that it would crash, almost impossible, only because of the sheer requirement for us to get into the rental market to be able to, you know, take care of the people that require places to live. And with our current immigration status that we've got, you know, number of people coming into the GTA area, you know, we've got well over 100,000 people coming in every single year. So they need to live somewhere, and there's just the demand will far outweigh what we've got in inventory.
How is the shrinking size of condos driving up prices?
Well, you know, one of the things is that when people turn around, they don't always look at square footage price, but what they'll do is they'll start talking about, you know, the overall price. So let's say you say to one of your friends, hey, listen, I'm going to buy a condo for $500,000. But your other friend turns around and says, yeah, well, I'm getting mine for $420,000. And you go, oh, $420,000? But it is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that the prices, the builders have a little bit more leeway. It's a lot easier for them to build small units than it is, you know, the bigger, more expansive units. So quite frankly, you know, they will start seeing an increase in the price on these units.
What am I hearing about places that are being built that don't have kitchens or don't have, you know, all the sort of amenities that you might think that they would have? And I'm not talking about a pool downstairs. I'm talking about in the unit itself. You know, maybe you only have a microwave or something like that. Have you come across this, and is this something that you would find impossible to sell, or is it something that people are looking for?
You know, I almost want to say it's fake news, but there is some reality to it. What people are doing is, you know, they've cut back. Some of these builders have cut back a lot in units to bring down, you know, the affordability of things. As far as what some of the lenders will, though, what they'll do is they'll put a halt to this kind of stuff very quickly. They will require, you know, a proper kitchen, toilet. You know, if a bachelor's suite is a bachelor's suite, they still require certain things, because a lot of the lenders will not lend on a property that does not meet their requirements.
Right.
So once upon a time, you couldn't get a mortgage on anything below 500 square feet, and they continue to adjust because now we've got a lot smaller units.
Yeah, what's the smallest unit you've ever sold? I've heard about 400 square feet. That seems to me to be, you know, like a dorm room almost.
Yeah, that's pretty close. You know, basically 20 by 20.
Yeah.
You know, those are bachelor suites. You know, they do have a bathroom and, you know, kind of a kitchenette more than anything else. But, you know, smallest one that we played with is about 380 square feet. And, you know, it's just a kind of a modified hotel room.
Yeah. 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 I used to live in one of those years ago. My first apartment in Toronto was just that. I slept in the kitchen. So did the tighter mortgage regulations brought in at the beginning of 2018, those are starting to fade now a little bit. The dampening effect of that. Are you noticing that?
Yeah, one of the things that, as I had said earlier, we had thought that the adjustment period would be between 9 and 12 months. It extended closer to about 18 before people finally turned around and made a decision that, you know, this is the new norm.
Right,
right now, OSFI is not going to budge on this one. So they're going to keep the B20 in place, which means that, you know, you're basically 2 points above for qualifying. And they're going to leave it in place. They don't want Canadians to get overridden with debt. But again, I think that they've painted everybody with the same brush. And, you know, I talk about it all the time on our show. One of the things they should do is for people that have been able to, you know, be very conscious with their managing of their money, being able to pay their bills, they should kind of give some leeway to this. It shouldn't be the same for everybody.
And if you were looking to, you know, put your kids in their first condo, they've moved to Toronto, they're going to school, or they're just starting off in their careers, what part of the city would you look in, and what kind of price range would you hope to find?
You know, that's a real tough one. You know, fortunately, now in Toronto, we've got a lot of schooling that has, you know, it's spaced out more in the GTA now than it ever has been. So, you know, one of the things, you know, you have to make a decision is how much do you want to commute? You know, do you want to walk to school? And again, I think if we take a look, I would be encouraging, you know, people to be going after the older buildings at this point. You know, definitely, again, more bang for your buck. The chances are that you could bring in a tenant with you, the idea, you know, an extra student, help you offset your expenses, that kind of thing. So, again, taking a look at it, I would definitely be more driving towards the older buildings.
Final question for you, and I'm speaking with Todd C. Slater, the Simple Investor and host of Simply Real Estate. I've been reading more and more now about people being very careful about buying in condos that seem to have Airbnb action going on in them as well. So perhaps suites that no one actually lives in but are only being rented out as Airbnb hotel rooms, essentially. Have you bumped into this problem, and is this something that is any kind of issue?
It does become an issue more so just from noise, disruption, and I would say abuse of the common elements. So when we talk about hallways, we talk about any amenities. And a lot of the condominiums are looking towards changing their rules and regulations, being able to, you know, basically tell people that you're not allowed to use it that way, that rentals must be required on a monthly basis, not on a nightly basis. So I think we're going to see some changes in the near future with a lot of these buildings, and they're going to tighten down on the Airbnb effect.
Todd C. Slater, thank you so much for this.
No problem. Thanks so much, Richard.
What a pleasure. We've been speaking with Todd C. Slater, the Simple Investor and the host of Simply Real Estate.